Well, we are continuing a series on walking with Jesus. Welcome, by the way, if you are new with us. My name is Bob. Our lead pastor, Phil, is having fun somewhere and driving a boat on a lake or something. But we're excited. I'm glad for him. Well-deserved vacation with his family. In your bulletin, I wanted to draw your attention to a couple things. I'm going to use them during the message. One is the orange sheet. Just pull that out and so you have access to it. And then the other is, I've got another napkin for you. This is part two of a two-part series in the midst of a multi-part series on walking with Jesus, but theology on a napkin. And so last week was the circle. Today's going to be the triangle. And since I was kicked out of geometry in high school, that's as far as we'll get. It's just the circle. True story, but I won't go into great detail about that. So just by way of review, so last week we talked about... Anybody else need...
Interrupting.
Peanuts. Get your peanuts. You can tell. Yeah. So last week, so your life, you're going along. You're like the line with the arrow at the very top. Just living your life when an event happens, the X. And in the New Testament, there's two words for time. One is chronos, where we get chronology, and that's your life. You're just going along. And then Kairos is an event. And Jesus, when he came announcing the kingdom, he said, the time has come, the Kairos moment. The time has come, the kingdom is near. Do two things, repent and believe. And so we talked about, there's three parts to each of those. Repentance is to observe what's going on in your own heart, your own life, the events surrounding. You have a loss of a job, loss of a relationship. That's an invitation to learn something. And I can either go to self-pity, or I can ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what do you want to teach me here? And so repentance means to change your mind. And part of repentance is to observe what's going on, to reflect, to ask a lot of questions, and then get together with somebody and talk about it. And then the second part is believe. That we know from James that faith without action, it's dead. And so your faith is going to lead you to action. So you make a plan and then you account. You have someone that you meet with and you holds you accountable, and then you act on it. And this doesn't just happen once. The spiral, the slinky at the bottom, happens over and over in our lives. So that was last week. This week, your triangle, it's very simple. It's got three parts to it. And right in the middle, you see it says Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Notice he doesn't say, talk humbly with your God. But the invitation is to walk. I love to walk. Any hikers? I've hiked Half Dome. I got to the cables, almost to the top, cramped up. No one was up there, and I thought, this would be a bad place to cramp up. It'd be a good place to die if I had to die somewhere. It's beautiful up there, but I didn't want to die that day. So I sat down, held onto the cables, and I said, Jesus, I'm not going to make it to the top. Will you meet me back here? And I felt like he said, yes, I will. So I'm going back someday, going to hike up there. Hiked Mount Whitney with a friend. That was a really bad idea. We are built as humans to walk. We are built to walk. We have a spine that's forgiving. Our skull is upright, and we are built to walk. To walk, but what does it mean to walk with God and to walk humbly with God? For the earliest disciples, they walked with Jesus. Life in those times was 3 to 5 miles per hour. That's a brisk walk. Now we live at, if you're lucky, 60 miles an hour. You're kind of going slow if you're going 60 miles an hour. You're getting passed by. But for the earliest disciples, literally it meant to be a follower of Jesus. Where he walked, they walked. And they watched how he healed people, how he showed compassion, how he argued with religious people. And where he walked, they walked. And Jesus walked out three types of relationships. And this is what the triangle is all about. The reason it's on a napkin, if you're new with us, this needs to be simple enough for us to describe to somebody that's interested in being a follower of Jesus. You ought to be able to, at lunch or over coffee, write it out on a napkin. And so these life shapes of a disciple were created for that. And so the triangle, there's three parts. And the first part is up, a relationship upwards with God. And the three of these are, if you begin to look at Scripture through this grid of the triangle, you're going to see this all over the place. But we're going to stick with Luke chapter 6. And these three types of relationships were important to Jesus, so they're important to us as disciples. Jesus, right before this, he has healed a man, and he's done it on the wrong day. He did it on the Sabbath, and so he broke some of their rules, their understanding of Scripture. And because of that, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious, and they began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. So Jesus' friends are growing, but also his enemies by this time. So what does Jesus do when crisis comes? One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. And he spent the night praying to God. I was thinking about this, that for Jesus, prayer was not a last resort. He enjoyed being with his Father. There's other places in the Gospels, especially John, where it says that Jesus said about himself, "I never do anything that the Father, I only do what the Father is doing," to put it in a positive way. That that Jesus needed to be with his Father. He spent the night praying to his Father. And I think for Jesus, and he invites us to this, that prayer doesn't need to be a duty or an obligation. It's more like a place of rest. And I just had this picture that prayer is like, if you can just picture God's hand for you, it's like a giant hammock in the shade. And he invites us, come and rest. And so a lot of prayer is not about us talking to God, but it's experiencing his rest. So if Jesus needed to go out and spend the night praying, how much more we need that? And so the up part of the relationship, it always starts with God. He acts, he speaks, and then we respond. And I just I like summertime for a lot of reasons, but one is it's a change of pace. And I think for me, this is my prayer, that this would be a summer that I learn a little more about how to pray. And I was just thinking about some things that I've learned that others have offered to me, and I just want to offer you my own bullet list here. This summer, to build your up relationship with God, I would encourage you, if you don't do this already, first thing in the morning, if you're a morning person, if you enjoy the evening, then carve out time in the evening. But start having coffee with Jesus. Apparently Jesus likes coffee. He does at my house, anyway. Front porch is my favorite place. Carved out a place. I even created a footstool out of a pallet this week so I could kick my feet up. And make this your prayer. Pick one of the Gospels. Grab, if you write, then a journal and you got to get a very cool pen, though. Or if you're, an iPad person, whatever. But do this. Tell God you're not getting up until he speaks to you. And see what happens. And then just record what he speaks to you from his word. Short, special times with God as you go. I would encourage you to pray while you drive. Keep your eyes open, please. One way that I like to pray is I just like to notice his handiwork in creation. It's a beautiful sunset. I will say out loud, "Nicely done, Father." You might, if you don't have a place to start, you might start with the Lord's Prayer. It's in a couple places, but Matthew chapter 6. And take it phrase by phrase, one phrase each day. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name, hallowed be your name. And then just take time and pray that and think about, what does that mean? I have to do it together, so I remember. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can spend a lot of time just with that prayer. Lord, your kingdom come in my kids. Your kingdom come in my neighborhood, in this community, as it is in heaven. Team Barnabas, you guys are an answer to a lot of people's prayer. People are praying for that in neighborhoods, in churches that you've come to serve. Your kingdom come, Father. And so he sends people like you. Very simple. If you're not sure how to pray, just pick the word pray, P-R-A-Y. Praise, repent, ask, and yield. If you want to push it further, be like Jesus. Spend the night in prayer. I've tried, and I fall asleep. But if I have a couple friends that I do that with, it's easier. My middle son and I traveled Indonesia, a short-term mission, several years ago. And we were out on a boat. And one night, we had an all-night prayer vigil where two by two, we would take an hour and pray. And at first I thought, an hour? What are we going to pray about in an hour? That's such a long time. But we had a list of people and villages and ministries that we had visited already, and an hour just went by in the blink of an eye. I like it, our church staff, when we meet, Mike and Phil are quick to do this. A need comes up, and Mike will say, okay, well, let's pray for that right now. And so the meeting just, I was going to say the meeting stops, but that becomes incorporated in the meeting, that we pray for you as needs come up. So that's the up part. The second part is the in type of relationship. Jesus modeled this, and it has to do with what we're doing this morning, with fellow believers. It may happen on a Sunday morning. I would encourage you to be a part of a smaller group, and I'll say a little bit more about that. Here's Jesus' small group. This is back to Luke chapter 6. He had spent the night in prayer, and when morning came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Apostle, the word apostle literally means sent one. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Disciples, these were ordinary guys. And as you read through the Gospels, especially the Gospel of Luke, there's a group of women who attached themselves, and wherever Jesus went, they went. And so men, women, even children were drawn to Jesus. When you begin to follow Jesus, you get invited into a very large spiritual family. Millions of people become your brothers and sisters. And if you get a chance to travel cross-culturally, you'd be amazed. Anywhere in the world you go, you meet a brother and sister, you have this instant bond. I don't even know how to describe it. Many of you have experienced it. We are invited in. It's impossible to have a relationship up without having a relationship in. And a church this large, I was talking to a couple of Team Barnabas that come from churches of 1,000 people, 4,000 people. But even a church of this size, I would encourage you to join what we're calling a grace group. And I just want to draw your attention. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but if you notice, these grace group notes are in your bulletin every week. Anybody notice that before? Okay, good. We'll keep writing them. And the model for our grace groups has to do, even though there's four parts to this, I'm just going to highlight what the parts are and why we do them. But it's modeled after this idea of having an up relationship, an inward, and then we're going to get to out. For those of you who, there we go, I'll just put it out there. That's the triangles, up, inward, and outward, and we'll talk a little more about out in a minute. But whether you use these notes, whether you meet with one of our grace groups, somehow I really encourage you to get together with at least one or two other people each week. And here's the four parts to the grace group. The welcome, which has to do with in relationships, that we're getting to know one another. It's usually an icebreaker type question there. And then the worship would be what? Up. I heard somebody say. And that's our relationship with God. And so the focus there is ideas for worship. You don't have to be a musician. You can just read a scripture. We have recommendations for you. But that focus, that builds the up relationship. The word goes back to in. That we encourage each other in the scriptures as disciples. And then the fourth part is witness. And that focuses on out. Our relationship with our community, with the lost, with those who are feeling lost and lonely. The witness. You can gauge your own spiritual health, the health of a small group, the health of our entire church with these three relationships. Most churches are good at two of the three. Most of us are good at one or two. It's a rare thing, and it's a work of God when we're healthy in our worship, in our prayer life, in interacting with God, walking humbly with God. We're healthy getting to know each other, encouraging each other throughout the week. But then also, we're always thinking, okay, who's not here that could be here? Who is the Lord asking us to invest our life in that's outside of our in community? Does that make sense? For Jesus, this is what it looked like. Spent the night in prayer, called his disciples, and then he went down with them, the disciples, and he stood on a level place, and a large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those troubled by impure spirits were cured. And the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. If you follow the life of Jesus throughout the Gospels, and if you follow him now, he's doing the same thing. If you walk with Jesus, you're invited into a relationship with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the up. You're invited into this family called the body of Christ. Like it or not, you are part of a family now. And some family members are easier to love than others, right? But maybe you're the one that's, anyway. And then out. The Lord is going to keep people, the world, the hurting community on your heart. As I thought about this, I'd like to ask Jacob to come up. Couple reasons. I've heard Jacob speak to groups, and I really like what he has to say. But I especially noticed how good you are at reaching out to people. You're well connected with people, but you do it in some really creative ways that I would have never thought of. And so, ladies and gentlemen, Jacob Bomber.
No, that's okay. hello, good morning. So my philosophy is when I am just out in the world and I see people walking by, now I've been doing youth ministry for like 9 years now, so this happens more or less with students, but when I see somebody walking by, I see that as this is an opportunity to meet and get to know somebody new. And a lot of times, there are people where that's much easier to have that sense of interest in this person. How do I get to know this person? A great example of that is the high school group. We did a retreat earlier this year, and we ended up riding on the metro. And this young man, 19, 20 years old, he gets on, and we're all just like standing there talking. And out of nowhere, like he's got headphones and he's holding his phone, and he just starts air guitar in the thing, and he's just like, he's going hard on it, and we're just like, this guy, what is going on? And we can see his phone, there's like some app or something, and it says like rockin' guitar solo, so it's like telling him what to do. We're like, okay, this is cool. And then so he does that, and then a little while after that he starts singing out loud, and he's not like belting it, but he's audible, like in this public place, audible. And we're just looking at each other like, this guy is awesome. And so this goes on for like a couple stops. And then, out of nowhere, he kind of stops, and he looks at his watch, and he's standing in front of the door, like the exit door, right? And he looks at his watch, and he does this. And we all look at each other like, what is about to happen? And he goes. So then it stops, the door's open, and he takes off. And he's full-on sprint. And if you've like been at certain metro stations, it's like a long runway, and then it turns, and it goes. And we just watched him and full sprint all the way down, all the way up and around the corner. Just look at each other like, whoa, we need to know this person. We need to know what is going on. So in my head, instantly, all these questions are going through, like, What song was he listening to? What was that app called? Does he actually play guitar? Where is he running to that he has to get there so fast? Like, instantly I have all of these questions that I want to have answered about this person, because obviously something amazing is going on that I'm missing out on and I need to know. And so in that situation, it's really easy to be interested in that person. Not everybody is so outwardly interesting in that way, but still, I mean, I'm sure a lot of you have had conversations with people that you didn't anticipate or whatever, and you hear some amazing story about this person just by getting to know them, getting to interact with them. And so every single person that passes by you, you have that opportunity to do that with. And so how do we get to that point? How do we get to know people? We ask questions. Is that up on the board? The other thing? Yeah. Whatever pops up. We, right, getting to ask questions. So what are the, that's not the question. Just go back. It doesn't matter. We'll get there later. Asking questions, right? So the easiest ones, who, what, where, when. Basic information about these people. What do they like to do? Who is in their family? Where do they work? Etc., right? Those are all easy surface level questions. But the most important question I was ever taught to ask is why. Because all of the answers to who, what, where, when, that's just information. But when you ask why, that actually gets into things. If you were to ask me what some of my favorite songs are, invariably one of the ones I would tell you is Just the Two of Us by Will Smith. Now, you might be thinking nobody listens to Will Smith rap anymore. That's dumb. But for me, like that would just, so then you would have that information and okay, that's fine, whatever. But if you ask me why, I would tell you that I have never met my biological father. I do not have a great close relationship with my stepdad. And that song is just Will Smith pouring out his heart to his son, telling him, I am always going to be there for you. All of these milestones that occur in your life, I am there for, I am experiencing, I am loving you every step of the way. So I listened to that song, I cannot tell you how many thousands of times, imagining, man, what if I had a dad like that? And man, that is the type of dad I want to be, that I'm so involved in my kid's life, that this is the relationship I have. It's a very simple, easy part there, right? And so that could go so many different ways with people if you just ask why. Why things are about their life. Why they believe the things they do. Why they do the things they do. And so that, like right there, is an easy asking the simple surface level questions and then why. That really gets into knowing who somebody is. Once you're getting these answers, for me, it's always important to like acknowledge the answers and encourage the answers, to like push forward with them, to show like, I heard you, that is amazing, or you know, whatever that sounds like. Because now, if I just hear an answer and I'm like, okay, whatever, like that, there isn't like a sense that I'm there with them. But if I am engaged in the answer, then the other person knows that they've been heard, that they've been acknowledged, and that they have value, they have worth. One of the greatest things you can give another person is value, to show them that they have worth in your life. They have worth as an individual, right? Many things have come up in the news lately with people who are taking their own lives because at some point they feel like their life has no worth. And they are missing out on people telling them, people showing them that they matter, right? And this is one of those times where you can easily do that just in day-to-day conversation. Sidebar, I'm going to make a plug. If you have not seen the Mr. Rogers documentary, you have to. I was a little bit older by the end of his run, so I saw a little bit. But it is incredible. I cried. Hard to believe, I know. I cried at the end of it. But Mr. Rogers, man. So there's, in the social media world, there's this meme phrase situation that says, find somebody who looks at you or loves you the way blah, 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 right? And so there's one picture I saw the other day. It's four separate pictures of Chris Pratt. And Chris Pratt, one of them, there's a fellow actor. One of them, there's a reporter. One of them, there's a baby. And I forget the other one. But in all four pictures, Chris Pratt is just like standing there looking forward. And everybody else in the photo is looking at him mesmerized. And it says, find somebody who looks at you the way everybody looks at Chris Pratt. And it's great because, like, it's just that joke. It's just funny, right? I watched the Mr. Rogers documentary on Friday night. As I'm watching it and I'm watching how Mr. Rogers is, can anybody not call him Mr. Rogers? I feel weird saying Fred. Mr. Rogers. Every single person he interacts with, that is, he is mesmerized and fully in that person, right? Every single time, he is right there, almost in their face, and it would be uncomfortable, except, like, there's nothing else in the world that matters to him at that moment except that person. And you feel it every single time. There is not a moment that he is interacting with somebody that he is not fully engaged with that person 100% of the time. And it's powerful. Right? The people in his life, it was this empowering thing. Even when he's just meeting one person one time, just instantly, I love you for who you are, and I am glad that you are here. And every single time they felt that. I felt that just watching it. Watching it in the past, but it was still powerful there. And so that's the power we have in just simple interaction with people when we go out into the world. So that's one example. An example in my life of me being able to connect with somebody was this student, Brandon. A bunch of friends and I were hanging out at one of their houses, and we were just out in the front yard playing games. And I had to leave because I went to a Galaxy game. So I left, I'm at the game, and all of a sudden one of my friends texts me, and he says, hey, this kid, like, passed by, and he started asking about Frisbee. And so he was asking about, like, leagues or things he can get into. And so I didn't really know anything, but I told him about you, so here's his number. It's like, okay, like, well, I'm at this game, but sure, I'll text him. So I start texting the kid. Again, he has no idea who I am. I have no idea who he is. And so I'm just asking random questions, asking him about school, asking him about his life, asking him about Frisbee, like, how did you even care about Frisbee, whatever. And so we, like, have this cool conversation. From there, me and Cody Kurtz, we had arranged a time to, like, hang out with him and his friend. We played Can Jam one afternoon together, and that was fun. And he, at the time, I was at Long Beach Grace Brethren, and they have these bay days during the summer where people hang out and just go throw a frisbee around, hang out in the water and stuff. So I invited him to that, and he said, sure. So he showed up and started going to those, and then he started going to group regularly. And, like, as it progressed, he eventually got baptized, and now he's spending this entire summer up at a summer camp being a photographer and hanging out for the entire summer. And he has just, like, taken off in his faith and been an integral part of our community. And it was simply because I had enough interest to ask him a few questions and to, like, invite him to hang out. And then God took it from there. That's what we have the ability to do every second of every day. The people that we're around, the people we interact with. If we just look at other people and decide, God has made you, God loves you, and God put you in my life right now, I have the ability to interact with that. It's insanely powerful. And so the last thing about encouragement is these texts up on the screen. When it's really easy to, like, do that, to have those interactions and then kind of, like, leave them as they are. I was having this interaction with another student about a week, 2 weeks ago, and the way we have interacted, kids are really good about, like, giving you answers that they think suffice to be like, okay, that answered your question well enough so we can move on, but they're really vague, so it's not super good of an answer. And so I was trying to communicate this with him. Like, I just need you to be straight up with me. Either just tell me you don't want to talk about it, or, like, give me a real answer. Like, either way, we just need to be honest, whatever. And so that was kind of where, so it was, like, a mildly serious conversation. And in that, I was, like, showing him, like, you are important to me, and so we just need to be on the same page with some of these things. And I pointed out to him that there are a couple times that I had, like, at the end of a text conversation, told him that I loved him. And so I'd asked him, like, why do you think that is? And then that's how this text starts. And then so I say, and because I don't want you to ever not know it, to know that I loved him. I want there to be no doubt how important you are to me and in general. And there's nothing you'd ever say or do that would change that. I've had too many people be afraid or ashamed to talk or share something important because they're worried I'll think less of them or something. I don't want you to ever feel that way. I might get upset, frustrated, disappointed, whatever, but it won't change the fact that I love you and I'm always here for you to support you and encourage you through great things, bad things, and everything in between. It felt self-serving to, like, show that and be like, look what I wrote this kid. But how many of you have had that conversation with somebody else? How many of you have told somebody that no matter what they do, what they say, how they act, you love them and you are there to encourage them and support them no matter what? You know, this kid could be wherever in his faith. He's a teenager, so he's going to do a million stupid things from here till the end of time. But that doesn't change the fact that I'm going to care about him and be there to support him forever, right? And if you've ever had somebody tell you that, you know there's nothing more important than knowing that you are loved no matter what. We know that we have that from God, and that is why we can hold firm in our faith with God. But there's something different about it being tangible from the people around us. Okay, again, he's not related to me, doesn't even go to this church. This is a kid who I just got to know through other kids. But it felt like he needed to know this. And he acknowledged that afterwards, like, that's something I really needed to hear right now. But to say, like, that's something I really need to hear right now, I feel like we could all always hear that we are being encouraged and supported. If you got that message right now from somebody, how much would that matter to you right now? Is there somebody in your life that if you sent them that message right now, how important would that be for that person to hear it? Right? So this is the out. They don't have to be believers. They don't have to be showing that they know who God is and that they have this phenomenal relationship with Christ. They're just somebody in the world. But that's what God's love looks like. And if they experience the infinitely small amount of love that I can give compared to God, then how much better off are they going to be if they get the opportunity to get to God from there? Right, so that's kind of my challenge to you guys as you go out through the rest of your day, week, life. Who can you encourage and support in a way that shows them God's love so that they can get there? That is the essence of going out. Meeting people, getting to know them, getting them to know God. That's what we want.
Thanks, Jacob. Knew it was going to be good. But you didn't have to start meddling there at the end, okay? Now, Lord put somebody on my heart. Okay, I will. I'd like to ask the worship team to come back up. And as they do, I want to just end kind of where we started. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, out, to love mercy, to show mercy in, to walk humbly with your God up. And about this time every Sunday, I start getting hungry, start thinking about lunch. So do you. So I was thinking, I started being challenged, encouraged to do this by somebody. So if you go to a restaurant today, sit down for your meal, you say grace, that's up. You're with your friends, your family, that's the in. But take it one step further. Just ask your server, hey, is there anything we can be praying for you for? Tara and I have done this, done it with a couple friends. I have never had someone say, nope. It's always been, well, now that you mention it, Yeah, kind of out here from New York, and got this going on, and we've had servers just pour out their life, and we just say a quick prayer with them right there, and that's the out. It's a fun way to live, and it's as disciples. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, then that's what we're invited into. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into this last song. We're going to have a couple people up here available to pray with you. If whatever your need is this morning, or if you just want to give thanks and you want someone to share that with you, we invite you to do that as well. So, Lord, thank you that you have invited us into this relationship that's much bigger, this life that's much bigger than if we would have just done life on our own. And if someone is hearing this for the first time, Lord, I pray that you give them grace to give in to your love and to know that they're cared for by you and that they're invited into a family. So continue to move among us, Lord. We love you, and we want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.